Father, we are your children. We want to thank you for that privilege. The honor of coming to our Father. We just want to thank you, Father. We just want to praise you. We just want to glorify you, Lord. Father, we are your servants. We want to thank you for the honor we have to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You had a billion angels. Still, you gave us the honor to serve you. Thank you, Father. This morning, as we look into your word, once again, speak to us. Once again, teach us. Teach us your ways. Show us your paths. For that is the way to life. Speak, Father. We sit at your feet. Teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to turn first to the book of Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4.
ఫిబ్రవరిలో విధంగా గ్రీకు భాష మాట్లాడే యూదుల సంఘ సాగిది. అప్పుడు 12 అపోస్తలులు తమ యొక్క శిష్యుల సమూహమును పిలిచి, నేను దేవుని వాక్యము బోధించుదామని ఆహారము పంచిపెట్టక యుక్తము కాదు, కాబట్టి సహోదరులారా, ఆత్మతోనూ జ్ఞానముతోనూ నిండుకొని మంచి పేరు పొందిన 7 మనుషులను మీలో ఏర్పరచుకోండి, మేము వారిని ఈ పనికి నియమిద్దుము. అయితే
Amen. When Israel came out of Egypt, the trouble was over food. In the new church, in the book of Acts, first trouble is because of food. That's why to see no trouble, we call it breakfast meeting. But that's not the message today. See, when there was trouble over there, in verse 2, they say, it is not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God. The word of ministry of the word of God. There are many servants of God sitting here. And our primary ministry is the ministry of the word of God. And here the apostles are making a very clear distinction, saying there are a lot of issues, but we will not allow those issues to affect the ministry of the word. But even that is not the message today. Once they have found a solution, in verse 4, they say something. They have a ministry of the word. But they add something before that. They say we will pay in English it says we will pay attention to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. They bring prayer over there. And there's something which happened to the apostles after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What changed in their life was their prayer life changed. For 40 days Jesus taught them. He was just continuing what he always did with them for 3.5 years.
ఉన్నాడు అది చేస్తూనే ఉన్నాడు
బట్ వాట్ వాస్ గోయింగ్ టు చేంజ్
అయితే మార్చబడేది ఏంటిది అంటే
వాస్ ద ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్
వారి ప్రార్థన జీవితము మార్చబడింది
వెన్ హి రోస్
ఆయన లేపబడినప్పుడు
వెన్ హి లెఫ్ట్ ఎర్త్
ఇదిగో భూమిని ఆయన విడిచిపెట్టినప్పుడు
హి టోల్డ్ ద వన్ థింగ్
ఒక విషయాన్ని ఆయన చెప్పాడు
వెయిట్ ఇన్ జెరూసలేం
ఇదిగో యెరూషలేములో మీరు
అంటిల్ యు రిసీవ్ పవర్
నీవు శక్తిని పొందుకొని
అండ్ వి నో దే వెయిటెడ్ ఫర్ 10 డేస్
ఇదిగో మనకు తెలుసు 10 దినాలు వారు ఎదురు చూస్తారు
బట్ దోస్ 10 డేస్ వర్ 10 డేస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రేయర్
ఇదిగో ఆ 10 దినాలు ప్రతి దినం కూడా ప్రార్థన దినాలుగా ఉండెను
వాట్ చేంజ్డ్ వాస్ యాక్చువల్లీ దేర్ ప్రేయర్ లైఫ్
ఇదిగో మార్చబడినది ఏంటి అంటే వాస్తవానికి ప్రార్థన జీవితం మార్చబడింది
సో యు విల్ సీ దే సే వి హావ్ టు డు ద మినిస్ట్రీ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ వి హావ్ టు డు ద మినిస్ట్రీ ఆఫ్ ది వర్డ్
ఇదిగో వాక్య పరిచర్యం మేము చేయాలా మేము
బట్
అయితే
దే ఆల్సో సే we have to pay attention to prayer
idigo aithe mem prarthanaku ekagratalela drushti sadinchala
something which they learned
idigo mem vaaru nechukunnadi vaaru
and Jesus had taught this over and over again
idigo marla marla yesu prabhu variki bodhisthune unnadu
sari strange sometimes to know the fact that God actually loves to hear his children pray
idigo kodi saalu aashiram kalu chestundi devuni pillalu idigo devuni pillalu yedru devudu vinadalane aashu kalu untadu
in Matthew 7 verse 7 and 8 these are all familiar passages but let's just look at it for a few minutes
Matthew 7 verse 7 and 8
verse 7 and 8
adugudi meeku iyavadunu vedagudi meeku dorukunu tattudi meeku iyavadunu
God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And he says, some of the words, the language used is for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. Who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. If you turn to Matthew 21, and verse
22
okay. He read 21 and we are reading 22. They go together. Okay, I understood that verse. Okay, 21 and 22. And where Jesus is saying, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. Whatever you ask in prayer. See, Jesus always encourages us to go to God in prayer. Now look at John chapter 14 and verse 12 to
14. మీరు నా నామమున దేని అడుగుదురో తండ్రి కుమారుని అందు మరుగుపరచబడుటకై దానిని చేతులు నా నామమున మీరు నా దేవి అడిగినందుకు నేను చేతులు
How are you asking my name? And he says even greater works. So God actually encourages us to pray. Now John
15:7.
If my words remain in you and I remain in you, whatever you ask. So the invitation of God always is, come to me. Pray. Pray. Ask.
And
all these places he says, whatever. So the invitation of God is there. Now we need to look at what are the conditions?
ఇదిగో దాని యొక్క షరతులు ఏంటో మనం చూద్దాము.
The first condition is what we read in 14 and verse 13.
ఇదిగో 14వ అధ్యాయము 13వ వచనంలో మొట్టమొదటి యొక్క షరతు.
మీరు నా
నామమున దేని నామములు in my name.
ఆయన నామమున
This is the first condition basis of every answered prayer. In His name. In His name. If you want specific answers to specific prayers, it can be only in His name. And everybody doesn't have access to that name. The purpose of the preaching of the gospel is to bring people who do not know Him to Him so that they can pray in His name. Remember the Canaanite woman whose daughter was very ill. Jesus refused to answer her. He refused to answer the request of the disciples because she asked in the wrong name. She said, David, son of David, have mercy on me. And she had no right to that name. She was a Canaanite. She was not even a Samaritan. Samaritans are mixed breed. Because they said, our father Jacob. Canaanites have no right to use that name. So he refused. Only when she came saying, Lord, which is common for everybody. So the first thing is access is in the name of Jesus. In Romans 8 and verse 32, very powerful, comforting verse. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let pastor here read because so that we don't have confusion. And I know pastors know their word very well. They'll pick it up fast like this. Okay, Romans 8:32, he says, He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him? Through him, with him. Give us all things. We say in English, he who has the Son has the rest. I know it's a very common now example, but if you order dosa, you will get sambar chutney free. But this is the key. It's in the name of Jesus. With the Son. It comes with the Son. It's a whole package. With the Son. In Philippians 4:19, and we know very familiar verse again. My God shall supply all my needs in glory in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ? No. Inside Christ? Yes. That's why Jesus is saying, come in my name. If you go to 2 Corinthians, another very familiar, chapter 1, verse 20. Doesn't matter, 2 Corinthians 1:20, how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Yes and Amen in Christ. Only in Christ. One more verse I'll give you. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. In Christ, every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realm. So everything is in Christ. That's why we have been given His name. So God says, you who are in Him have the right to come to the Father in my name. That is the only way of access. There is no other name. So the first condition to be met is that we go in His name. Then we need to know who we are going to. We are going to God. And we always know. We say in English, it is protocol. That is mean when you go to somebody who is big and high, there is procedure by which you go. We don't just go like that. There's always procedure. In Psalm 100, and verse 4, this is procedure. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That's why we sing before we do anything. It is a protocol. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter what we are going through. My circumstances, my problem, my anxious thoughts does not change the nature of God or the plans of God. God is God. It never changes. So God says, come first with thanksgiving. And with praise. Sometimes we don't do that. We rush with our prayer. You will see Jesus could face any circumstance. Scripture says He had to feed at least 10-15,000 people. 5,000 men. Men, children and women. And He had only 5 loaves of bread. But Scripture said He took it and gave thanks. That's the order you enter. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. It is an act of faith. One, God is good all the time. That never changes. Because I am going through terrible times does not mean God has changed. We don't approach God based on what we are going. We go to God based on who He is. God is not only good, God is almighty. He is all powerful. Therefore He is always worthy of praise. This is the reason Scripture says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and with praise. In Isaiah 60 and verse 18, this is what the prophet says. 60 verse 18. Your walls will be salvation. Your gates will be praise. God is building the walls of salvation around us. That's why we have to grow in our salvation. So He's building these walls around us. But There is the gate. It's the gate of praise. That's what God is talking about. In Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11, we know it's being written to the exiles, those who are in Babylon.
29, 10
and 11. Amen. Even when they are in exile, 70 years in captivity, maybe some are in captivity, maybe people in our churches are in bondage, captivity of sin, captivity of the enemy. Even in captivity, God's plan for his children are always good. And when we come out of captivity, he says, my plans will come to pass in your life. My captivity does not change the nature of God. I do not see God through the light of my captivity. I see God in the light of who he is. God never changes. And it takes faith to see that. And by faith to praise him and thank him. I believe that was what Paul and Silas were doing in the prison. They are in prison. And it is dark. It is midnight hour. And they have been beaten up. And they have been tied up. And nothing thing they are going through will change who God is. God is good. And he is always good. And his plans are always good. And your future he has an appointed end. And by faith you and I should be able to see in our darkness and still praise him. And pray. So scripture says they were singing and they were praying. So we need to realize, I have to go in his name. So I have to stay in that name. And I have to end up with thanksgiving and with praise. These should not, because there should not be blocks in our prayers being answered. Because God loves to answer prayer. The third factor. God is good. God is great. More than that, God is holy. Now in earth we will say God is good, God is great. In heaven they all know he is good, he is great. But that's not what they are saying there. In heaven you always hear the refrain, God is holy, holy, holy. So if God is holy, how does it affect my prayer? In Psalm 66 and verse 18 and 19, Psalm 66 verse 18 and 19, I cried out to him with my mouth and his praise was on my tongue. That is verse 17. Yeah, right, okay. He is praising. We all praise. We are in His name. We are praising. But Scripture says, if I had regarded iniquity in my heart, God would not have listened. I have the name. It is right. I am praising. That's also right. But then there is the third thing. If I had regarded iniquity in my heart, God would not have heard. And the issue is this. When you and I have iniquity, sin in our heart, the actual truth is this. We cannot approach God really in faith. Or boldness. Or with understanding. Or with real praise. Or with real thanksgiving. Sin blocks it all. And sin becomes the main stumbling block. Stumbling block. That is where understanding is so important. I know even here we have heard it many times. Everywhere, at least once in a meeting, I try to bring it back. That is Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Let's read the whole thing, Pastor. So, there, it is very interesting, in such a powerful words, the Holy Spirit brings the most simple common thing, that is eating. We will all differ in everything else. But one thing is common about all of us. We all have to eat, we all eat. Common simple thing. But Scripture says, if you ate without faith, it is sin. And then says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So you see, till yesterday God could have answered my prayer. But today, I have more understanding when I sat and studied the word of God. I studied, I heard, and Scripture says faith comes from hearing. Now there is a difference between yesterday's understanding and today's understanding. Because understanding has increased. From ignorance I have moved to understanding. And Scripture says, seasons of ignorance I wink at. That ignorance, when we did not know, God says, okay. But when we know, God does not say, okay. So yesterday I did not know. Today I know. So God says, now that you know, by faith, repent. Repent. Put it right. Put it right. People do not realize the first step of faith is in repentance. First act of faith is always repentance. Repent from dead works and faith towards God. So that itself blocks our prayer. Now scripture says if you regard iniquity, yesterday you did not regard iniquity because you did not have knowledge. But today you have knowledge. And God says act on it. But we don't act on it. We don't act on it. It becomes a block. Many are the blocks which a righteous man goes through. See, it is easier for a newborn person to receive the answer to prayer than a senior man. It is easier for a baby to get something from the father or the mother than a 19-year-old son or daughter. Because the father will say, ask according to understanding. I told you to do this. I told you to do this. You didn't do anything and you're asking for pocket money. The baby asks for chocolate. You will give him ice cream also. What can you tell that? So that's what scripture is saying. As we grow in faith, there is a greater understanding of God. A greater understanding of what sin is. Whatever is not of faith is sin. The first act of faith is repentance. That's what the psalmist is saying. I praised him, and if I had regarded iniquity in my heart, he would not have answered me. Now read verse 19 and 20. He listened to my prayer, he answered my prayer. Now praise be to God who did not reject me. So there is praise before and after the prayer. This is a psalmist who knows God. Remember, this becomes one of the major stumbling block in a believer's life. And that's why in that prayer Jesus said, lead me not into temptation, and deliver me from the power of the evil one. Why temptation? Because you cannot usually sin unless you are tempted. Temptation is the beginning of sin. Beginning of sin. Temptation is not sin. Giving to temptation is what is sin. And that is what we have to resist. But the question is this. If you want to stop, because we have to stop sinning if you want answered prayers. The question is, first question is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Second is, what do you speak? Another simple, I know maybe I'm much younger than many of you, but I will tell you a simple thing not to sin. First thing, guard your ears. And eyes also, eyes and ears. Now even if you have heard, it doesn't matter how many thoughts is there in your mouth, in your head, if you learn to keep your mouth shut, you can still go through life without sinning much. Until you have uttered it, it has not become sin. One of the safest ways to walk with God is to zip our lips. Careful whom you listen to.
Then
what you listen. In my life, on a normal day, when I don't have ministry, there are only two people I listen to. I mean outside God. One is my wife. The other is my associate pastor. The rest is only to pray for people who ask for trouble. I don't listen to anybody. Either somebody is calling me for counsel or prayer. By now they have understood. I don't listen. Don't waste my time. What we say in English, I don't have time for small talk. Because I know it leads to trouble. Because if you can guard this, and guard this, it is easier to guard this. But even if you are not a little careful in guarding this, if you are careful in what you say, you can keep from much sin. Because temptation is one thing. But when that temptation becomes sin, and often it becomes through words. If only we are careful with what we say. First with hearing. But more than in saying, we can have boldness in our prayer. Boldness in our prayer. We can have 10, 100 terrible thoughts in our mind. As long as we have not spoken it, we haven't given the devil a handle to hold. We can still go to God with boldness in our prayer. Remember how Hezekiah prayed? I'm not saying the effect of his prayer and whether it was a right, I'm not saying. The boldness in his prayer. Isaiah came. You're going to die. Put your house in order. And die. Just turn to the wall. First step, he turned to the wall. What does it mean? He shut every other voice off. It is not turning to the world. Turning to the wall. Every other voice. And then he had boldness in his prayer. Lord, check my life. Check my life. He had boldness in his prayer. God told Isaiah, go back. I've heard his prayer. 15 more years. You know, we can really have boldness in our prayer. One of the things is to have, one I will say is to have, like because I'm talking to pastors, one is to have a very incredibly strong relationship with your spouse. Very strong. That even if you lose it, she knows you haven't lost it. She's not upset, she knows you are reacting to something else. And second, you have a very close relationship with the other pastor you have in your church. And I will tell you all pastors who have white hair. I have lots of pastors who are under me. In different places, different countries. I will tell you what you need to do. I look at them and I deal with them. And I relate to them only as a father and as a son. And in reality, I'm closer to my pastors than to my own sons. It guards you. And they will also accept any correction you say. Because they're real. That's why Paul is able to write only to Timothy and Titus. Because he accepted them as sons and they accepted him as a father. Remember. Remember. Zip your lip. It will bring boldness to our prayer. What you say really matters. Really, really matters. To God it matters. So temptation is not sin. But if you can avoid temptation and deal with temptation, we can deal with sin. And when we are not regarding iniquity in our heart, there is praise, there is prayer, there is answer, and there is praise after answer. Then if we sin, or when we sin, remember this always. 2 Timothy 2:13. What a scripture says, even when we are unfaithful, he is faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. When I am sinning, I'm unfaithful. My unfaithful doesn't change his faithfulness. Never changes his faithfulness. So when I repent, I am not going based on my faithfulness. I am still banking on his faithfulness. Because scripture says, if we confess, he is faithful. See, I am not even putting my faith in my confession. That's what I'm supposed to do. But my faith is not in that. My faith is in his faithfulness. If I confess, he is faithful. And the blood of Jesus washes away of all unrighteousness. Why I say is this? Because a lot of people don't feel forgiven. And they keep on confessing. And they don't feel I have confessed enough. It is like the doctor reading like the report. Okay, go to the radiologist, do this. That's no, now go do MRI. That also. No, do full body scan. Some believers are like that. Because their faith is in their confession and not in his faithfulness. No amount of confession is going to forgive me. It is based on his faithfulness. And God is faithful, not because of my work, because of the work Christ did on the cross. So we need to understand that. So sometimes people get caught in this trap. That was the key to the victory in David's life. He sinned terribly. But he knew God. He knew God. And he knew God's faithfulness. Even servants of God, no, servants of God, even disobedient servants of God needs to know this about God. Because this knowledge of God is a very powerful thing. Read Jonah 4:2. Most disobedient prophet. The disobedient servant of God. Yeah, but listen to him. Jonah 4:2. He knew God very well. We always speak about his rebellion, disobedience and all. He knew God very well. His problem was not with God. And not with the message. He didn't like that people. And he knew this message, this gospel is very powerful. If you preach, they will get saved. He is the servant who knew God very well. And we need to know God well. That is why we have to grow in the knowledge of God. Listen to the final words of Peter written in the Bible. Second Peter, last verse. Chapter 3 and verse 18. Grow in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. We will never grow in grace unless we grow in knowledge. We will not. Grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why scripture says Jesus came with grace and truth. The truth is the knowledge of God. When we grow in the knowledge of God, we will realize we need more grace. Ayya, this is too difficult. Who can keep this? God says, my grace is sufficient. But we have to grow in the knowledge of God. Then we understand God better. And there will be boldness in our prayer. According to knowledge. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. Everybody knows. No. That is 2 Samuel already. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. Is the same? Yeah, same. Okay. Yeah. Where did his idiom come from? 16 months in the Philistine camp. City burned out. Everybody taken captive. 600 faithful soldiers now turning their hand against him. Yet he has dhairyam with his God. Because he knew his God. He knew his God. Yes, I have sinned. Yet he is merciful. And I will go to God and ask for mercy. And you received mercy. And you look at verse 7 and 8 and see the boldness in his prayer.
Yehovah
See the boldness he went into prayer. This comes from the knowledge of God. You are caught in a situation, there is no time. Time means life. If you delay, your family will die. The families of your soldiers will die. One man knew God there. It was the knowledge of God that changed the situation. Most people would have sat there in depression. Gone into depression. I am a sinner. I have been living in sin for 16 months. Everybody is against me. It's better to die.
But
that man knew his God. And he's going to God based on his faithfulness. And he's bold to ask and expect an answer. And he receives an answer. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, come boldly, confidently to the throne room of grace. First is what? Kripa.
Kripa.
Mercy.
Harikaramo.
Then only grace.
Is
it written there? First
Kripa.
You can come boldly. For mercy. See, we always think you can come boldly for grace. That's not what God is saying. You can come boldly for mercy and grace. Lord, I have sinned. Come boldly. Mercy. Your sin doesn't change you. You're still my child. Your sin doesn't change me. I'm still your father. Still your father. Come boldly for mercy. Boldly for mercy. Our problem is we need grace. But because we have sinned, we don't have boldness to approach for mercy. Because we are looking at our sin instead of looking at his mercy. And this was his difference. He was a man who understood God is merciful. And God will forgive sins. God is more interested in my victory than in my defeat. Because first I need to be forgiven. Only when I am forgiven, I am justified. And only when I am justified, I am righteous. And when I am righteous, I can approach God and receive grace. Order never changes. Read Romans 5, 1 and 2. Vishwasam Moolam, first is what? We are justified first by faith. By faith, boldly, we go to God. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing from the word of God. So to approach God boldly for mercy, we need to know the heart of God. David knew the heart of God. Jonah knew the heart of God. They both knew this is who God really is. And by faith they go. And they are justified. First thing. Then verse 2. Now we have access to grace. Access to grace.
Access.
It's faith gives you not access to mercy alone, it gives you now access to grace. Don't stop at mercy. Don't stop at mercy. Mercy is not what alone what I need. Mercy only takes care of my failings. Lord, I lived in the Philistine camp for 16 months. Lord, because of me, the city is burned. Lord, because of me, the families are lost. Lord, forgive me. God says forgiven. Did it change your situation? No. He says, Abhyadar. Bring the effort. I need more than mercy. I need grace to overcome. Bring the effort. Ask of the Lord. Should I pursue? Immediately from the throne room of grace, pursue, overtake, recover all. That is what prayer brings boldness. God is saying, don't stop at mercy. Lord, people are hanging there at the throne room of mercy because they have no confidence they are forgiven. Because their faith is in their repentance and not in God's faithfulness. Before I got saved, I come from a Catholic family. If you were a Catholic, I never went through it, rest of my family went through it, but no, God protected me from all that. If you sinned, you go to the priest. A small little window, you confess to him. I'm only Catholic who never went to confessional. He protected me from that also. But do you know what the Catholic priest will say? Forgiven. Now go light 21 candles. Now he have lit 21 candles. But you don't feel forgiven. Now we are wondering, oh, I only bought the small candles. Maybe it's because of it. Maybe I should have bought bigger candles. Or do this novena. Novena, that is the prayer using the rosary. You prayed.
You
went through the whole circle, still don't feel forgiven. Did I miss one bead? Let me go all over again. You see, that's the trap even we get into. I don't feel forgiven. You're putting your faith on your confession and not on your on his faithfulness. So you are still stuck for mercy instead of going for grace. And therefore we have no boldness. Scripture says, by faith we are justified, forgiven because of what my son did, because of his blood, forgiven. Now you have access to grace. You have access. I don't know whether I said it here, but we say this. When you travel, you booked your ticket, you got your ticket, first you go, to the airport, looks at your name, looks at the ticket, looks at the date, and he looks at your ID. Go in. And you go to the counter. They look at it, they punch in, they look at your ID, they give you a boarding card. Again you go to security. He put it there. Your details come over there. He checks you. No PP sound. You know what happens? He clicks. Actually, what does it say? Access granted. You go inside. Now immigration. He will scan your passport. All your details. He says, look in the camera. If there is a red mark against you, he will say no. If it is clear, he will say go. That's what scripture is saying. By his blood, you're free. You repented. You confess. You are justified. Now don't wait at the gate. Go further. Plane is waiting for you. You didn't come here just for mercy. You came for grace. Only follow this order. Because what we need is grace. And if we don't need grace, but remember the order. James 5:16. Don't forget order. Don't run for grace first for mercy. Then stop. Don't stop at mercy. Go for grace. James 5:16. Yeah. What does it say? 5:16? Yeah. Okay, then pray. It doesn't say everybody's prayer is very powerful. The right. How are you made righteous? You have to be justified first. The prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. And there is a righteousness that is by faith and faith alone. That's why God says, come boldly receive mercy. Once you have received mercy, your prayer has power. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you look at that order, even in James 5:16, confess, sins are forgiven, you are righteous, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Order never changes in the Bible. Because our God is always the same. And God says, go through that order. And don't think anything is small. Oh, this sin is so small. I don't need mercy for that. I will go. God says, stop there. I'll tell you. Once when I was traveling, I was wearing something inside. And in that there was a small metal piece. Okay. Even belt, shoes, everything taken. That security officer is doing when it comes here, beep. Sab kuch hai? I also forgot. Now I was thinking, did I swallow a pin or something by mistake? He said, belt hai? I said, belt nahi hai. And he's checking everything. But when it comes here, beep. Poor fellow doesn't know what to do. Can he let me through? You can't. Because the machine is saying peep. Then I said, sir, wo jo andar mein pehna hai, usme thoda sa metal hai. So he's telling me, sir, aap to barbaad kiya. See, one little thing. Tiny little thing. Stopped you from access to the plane. We will say, it's a small sin. Let me go for grace. God says, stop there. You shouted at your wife last night. Your husband, it's a small thing. The next day morning, hallelujah, nothing is happening. God says, stop. What happened? I didn't do anything. Holy Spirit says, she is upset. What did I say? God says, what is written? As co-heirs of salvation, treat her with honor. As the weaker vessel. Put it right. Come back. Honey, I am sorry. Now she has forgotten. Because she is a loving wife. You have forgotten. She has forgotten. He has not forgotten. The problem is, you don't want access to your wife's cooking. You want access to God's grace. Even if you don't say sorry as she has forgotten, you will still get your breakfast, but you won't get grace. So God is teaching us. Learn to walk as my son walks. Learn to walk. We are more worried about the result. God is more worried about the person. The purpose of salvation is to conform us in the image of His Son. So God says it may be very small for you. But the small things can block you. So God says, be very, very clear and transparent with me. And that's what God is talking about. This is what God is talking about. And then 1 Timothy 2:8.
1 Timothy 2:8.
Ayo, that itself is a sermon. I want men everywhere, so it is to men, okay, it's not that about women, but God knows it is men who are angry first. So he says, I want men everywhere, first lift up holy hands. Hands has got to do with work. Do you remember when James says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you? And what is the one of the first thing he says? Cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. How did you do your work? How did you do your work? It's very, very important. God is not interested in our work first. God is more interested in how we do our work. If God is only interested in our work and not how we work, then God is a communist. He is not a communist. He's a holy God. So more than what we do, more God is more interested in how we do it. So he says, when you pray, it doesn't matter how we pray. We can kneel and pray. We can't kneel and pray for too long. We can sit and pray. When the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, how were they praying? Sitting and praying. You read the Bible carefully, they were seated in prayer and the Holy Spirit came. So don't make a law you have to kneel and pray. But God says, when you are praying, why does he say lift up holy hands? This has all got to do with procedure. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Then we pray. So it's a continuity. We thank him. We praise him. And our hands are still up when we are praying. There's a continuity. So Paul is writing to people who have a habit of praying and praising God. This is the habit. This is the habit. This is the discipline. Not people who only go to pray when there is trouble. These are people who have the discipline of everyday thanking God, praising God and praying. So he says, when you lift up your hands, check the work of your hands. How did you do it? What did you do? How did you do? What did you do? Be very careful, he says. Don't confuse power with approval. See, Moses went to Egypt. He said, take that rod. It was Moses' rod. Put at the feet of God. It became the rod of God. And he says, go. And with that rod, bring my people out. So he went. He went. And first was Aaron. After that, Moses. Lifts the rod. Lifts the rod. Lifts the rod, miracles. Now they are out. Red Sea, Pharaoh's army. Lift the rod, open. They are hungry. They are thirsty. That is the rock. Hit the rock. Water came. The rod of power. Little later. They are again thirsty. God said, speak to the rock. The rod is still the same. Now we hit the rock. Power is the same. Ways are wrong. God said, speak. He hit the second time. God said, you will not enter. So don't confuse power that the way is right. He answered the prayer of the servant of God because of the thirst of the people, because he is a merciful, loving God, and kept the servant out of the promised land. So we have to be very, very careful. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, I know you pray. I know you worship. I know you give thanksgiving. When you lift your hands, let it be holy hands. Let it be holy hands. How you do your work and the work you do. Be very, very careful. That's why he will tell Timothy, watch your life, watch your doctrine. Watch your life, watch your doctrine. Whereby you can save yourself, whereby you can save yourself and your hearers. Lift up holy hands without wrath. Without wrath. Be very careful. Very careful. Wrath. You know all these verses. James will say, the wrath of man does not bring the righteousness of God. Devalu Niti. Moses was angry that day. And he hit the rock. The wrath of man did not bring forth the righteousness of God. God says, be very careful. Lift up holy hands. Do not lift up angry hands. Let your heart not be full of anger. And let your heart not have doubt. Three things it says. Holy hands, no anger, and no doubt. That's the third thing mentioned over there. Because scripture says, if a man doubts, he will receive nothing from God. Not receive. God does not appreciate doubt. God only honors faith. In Hebrews 11, scripture says, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone that comes to God must believe He is. To believe He is. No doubt. No doubt. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. And He's the rewarder. Rewarder. You see, there is which is natural blessings. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added. That's normal. What to eat, what to drink, your provisions. I will add. That is blessing. Blessing and reward are not the same. God says He's a rewarder of those who come to Him by faith. It's a different thing. God says by faith. Lift up holy hands. Without anger. Without doubt. Without doubt. That says is how you need to approach in prayer. And to take our doubts off. We focus on the Word of God. And we, see, you can read the Word of God and miss the God of the Word. That's how so many children study for exams. They will pass the exam and they don't know the subject. They have looked at old question papers and they studied the answers, memorized the answers, and they are lucky. 9 questions came, they omitted the answers, they passed the exam. If you ask them about the subject, they don't know the subject. Lot of people only know certain promises in the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. That's where Peter says, grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. What did God say? My people perish because of lack of knowledge. It's the knowledge of God. That's Hosea 4:6. In Isaiah 5:13, as we close, what Isaiah say? Because of lack of knowledge, my people go into captivity. Because of lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of God. Of God. Your heart may be the best. Nice, clean heart. But if you do not know God and the ways of God, you will still go into captivity. Good heart. Loving heart. Excited heart. And the ark is coming. The ark is coming to the city. 30,000 soldiers. Everybody singing, dancing. New cart. Ark is in the cart. One priest in the front. One priest at the back. Ark is coming to Jerusalem. Then they come to Aruna's threshing floor. I think it's Aruna's, right? Not Aruna. Abinadab's threshing. I think so. Yeah, threshing floor. And we need to understand threshing floor. What is it? God says He waits at the threshing floor with His winnowing fork. That's where judgment takes place. He will separate the wheat and the chaff. What is according to my way and what is not according to my way. Scripture says when the ark came to the threshing floor, the oxen stumbled and the ark slipped. The priest touched and the priest died. Everything was good in the heart, but it was not according to God's
ways.
3 months the ark remained there. 3 months later, David comes. Oh, you Levites. Did you not know the word? The ark of God cannot go in any cart. It has to go on the shoulders of consecrated priests. All our excitement and clean heart cannot change the way of God. That's why God does not say, my people perish because their heart is not clean. He can give us a clean heart. God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Who is God? Who is God? And Jesus came to show us who is God. And the purpose of everything we do is to know God. When we do things God's way, there is always power release. Always power release. As I close, that's why Moses prayed his famous prayer. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. God is God. He has His ways. And this is the revelation of how God does things. And our duty as God's servants is not to do things first, but to know first how does He do things. And then align our life to His way. Those works He will accept. Any other work, doesn't matter how great a man is, Moses or David, God won't accept. Because God does not change. Yet when we fall, don't change His image. The God of mercy, abounding in love and compassion, go boldly and receive mercy. Know God well. Know God well. Shall we pray? Father, this morning, once again, we come to you as children and as servants. Once again we pray, Lord, continue to reveal yourself to us. Teach us your ways. Show us your paths. Help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And help us to have boldness in our prayer life. And always examining ourselves, that we walk by faith. For there is a righteousness of God revealed from heaven, that is from faith unto faith. And your word says, my righteous will live by faith. Speak to us, Lord, and teach us, Lord, and empower us, Lord, constantly. I bless all your servants here, their households, their ministries. Let your hand be always there upon us. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.